Grace and mercy and peace be with you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just by a show of hands, because you're happily in love, how many of you are currently married? Go ahead and raise your hands. All right. Keep your hands up. How many of you have been married more than 5 years? More than 10 years? More than 15 years? More than 20 years? I got to put mine down. All right, we're going to skip a few. 40? Who's that? 50? We got some beyond. All right, how many? 52? 51? 52? 54? 52? 52, so no 60 plus. You haven't made it yet, I guess, no? Awesome. You remember those days of courting one another? That's an old-fashioned word, but I don't know what the present-day word is. So, you know, the time where you're trying to, you know, win each other's favor, wondering how it's all going to pan out, you know, sitting out in the fields with the rose petal, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me not. Writing down on that sheet of paper, getting the courage, will you go out with me, circle yes or no, and you fold it up real tight and you pass it to your buddy and hope it makes it all the way over to the girl on the other side of the room without your friends opening it. It's an interesting time, isn't it? That courting time is tricky. Full of all kinds of emotions. In our story from Ruth today, it's a similar kind of thing. Ruth's in this position. It's kind of a vulnerable position. She's at the point where she needs to go to Boaz, let her know her desires, and see how he's going to respond. Let me just retell the story. You just heard it, but let me just recap it here. Okay. At the end of Ruth chapter 2, some of you have heard this story, some of you haven't, so let me just catch you up. At the end of Ruth chapter 2, Ruth has just come back home after getting some barley from the barley field of this generous man named Boaz. She had come home with approximately 30 pounds of barley for herself and her mother-in-law Naomi, plenty of food for them. He has also invited her to come back to the field any day that she wants and get more and more barley and also receive his protection. Now, she had gone home to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and Naomi had told Ruth that Boaz was a good man to find favor from because Boaz was one of their redeemers. Now, what's a redeemer? Well, according to the law, a redeemer was a close relative of Naomi's deceased husband, Elimelech. So Naomi is a widow, and it's the responsibility of one of her deceased husband's relatives to come and marry either her or somebody in her family to acquire the family property and the family name and lineage. And so, at the beginning of Ruth chapter 3, Naomi gives Ruth a suggestion, a strong suggestion, not only to go back to the barley field and glean from Boaz's field just to get more food for them, but to take it a step further and to let Boaz know that she would like to be redeemed by him. Naomi, she's too old to bear any more children. But the family property belongs to her by way of her deceased husband. And so Naomi, well, she and Ruth are also tied legally because Ruth had been married to one of her sons. And so Naomi's suggestion is, Ruth, you go and find the Redeemer, you get married, then you can have children and our family legacy can live on through you and the man who will redeem you. But Naomi would also be redeemed by that because the Redeemer's job is to redeem the whole family and tend to everybody. So Naomi instructs Ruth to go back to the barley field, to the threshing floor, where Boaz has been working long into the night and where he will go to sleep. And she tells him, while he's sleeping, go and uncover his feet, and then he'll tell you what to do. So she does. And at midnight, Boaz wakes up startled because there's a woman sleeping at his feet. But Boaz is an upright man. The Bible has described him as a worthy man. And that Hebrew word worthy means he's well-respected. He's an upright man. He's a good man, and he doesn't want to disgrace her. Actually, as a matter of fact, the scripture says that Boaz notices that Ruth is also a worthy woman. Did you pick up on that? In chapter 3, it says all the townspeople are saying that Ruth is a worthy woman. It's the same Hebrew word, meaning she is an upright person, well-respected already, this foreigner. And so, Boaz says to Ruth, I will redeem you. But there's a plot twist. There's another man. Oh no. This is the part, if you were making this into a movie, you know, a rom-com, it's where the man and the woman, they find each other, they fall in love, and it seems like they could just sail off into the sunset together. But there's still a lot of movie to go, and you're like, oh no, some conflict is going to come in, and they're going to have to separate ways and fight through and figure out if everything's going to be okay and if it'll work out. That's this part of the movie. Because there is another man. According to the law, there's another man who's a closer relative than Boaz to Naomi's deceased husband, and he gets first dibs, I guess, on redeeming Ruth. But so far, he's not shown up in the story at all. He knows that Naomi and Ruth are back in town, but according to the scripture, we haven't heard from this man, so it seems like perhaps he's uninterested. So Boaz tells Ruth, here's the deal. I will redeem you. You will be redeemed, but I've got to go settle this legal matter and figure out if he will redeem you. Because if he will, if he wants to, he gets to, but if not, I'll do it. So either way, you're going to be redeemed. But as a sort of a down payment on the promise or on the pledge, Boaz doesn't leave Ruth to go home empty-handed. He sends her home quietly, not to disgrace her, but definitely not empty-handed. He gives her more barley. At the end of chapter 2, just a couple days before, she went home with 30 pounds of barley. That's a ton of barley. Well, here it says he sends her home with 6 measures of barley. Some people say that a measure is the Hebrew measurement of a seah. What's a seah? Well, a seah would be a third of an ephah. Okay, well, last chapter, Ruth went home with an ephah. Okay, that's 30 pounds. So if you're following along with the calculation, a seah is a third of an ephah, so you get 2 ephahs, 60 pounds of barley she's going home with. That is just an extraordinary amount of food for her and for Naomi. But she's going home not just with the food, but also with the pledge. We're going to be redeemed one way or another. End scene. Now, I asked you about your marriages and your courtship with one another. Some of you out there are trying to court each other right now, so church is a good place to do that, by the way. But the courting time is tricky. You know, even that dating time can be kind of tricky because, you know, maybe you even make verbal pledges of your love to one another, but it can feel sometimes like until that day of marriage, sometimes it can feel like when you ask yourself these questions, is it really going to happen? Is he really serious? Does she really love me? Are we really going to get married? The promise of the Bible is one of a wedding. Jesus, the groom, us, the church his bride. And like Boaz, who is a great, 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 lots of greats grandfather to Jesus, Boaz the groom, Ruth his bride. And here you can think about it again. Here at the end of chapter 3, Boaz has made a pledge to Ruth, you will be redeemed, and he's given her a barley load of down payment. Jesus has given us a down payment on our redemption, on our full redemption. He has already died for us. He's already risen for us. And because that is true, you are already redeemed. Jesus has already purchased and won you back from sin, death, and the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. You do not belong to sin anymore. You do not belong to the devil anymore. You do not belong to the world anymore. You belong to Jesus because he paid for you. And yet, we still wait for the full and final consummation of this redemption. As we learn in the book of Revelation, the wedding feast is still yet to come. It will. Jesus will return one day, and the wedding will be complete, and we will join with Jesus in matrimony forever, God with us and us with our God. Christ the groom, us the bride. But in the meantime, we are still as good as redeemed. You have the full promise of redemption through the death and resurrection of Jesus and his down payment of life for you. But as we wait for that final wedding, again, this time is tricky for us. It's hard for us. As much as we want to wholeheartedly believe in the promises of Jesus and wait patiently for him, in our sinful nature and broken state of this world, it is often hard for us to trust the promises of Jesus. And so, like a courting couple, we find ourselves asking those questions. Is he really serious? Does he really love me? Is it really going to happen as he says? Are we really going to be married forever? Yeah. Yes. Yes, it will happen. Because Jesus has given you the down payment of his life. And even more than that, Jesus always follows through on his promises. And in the meantime, we have a God who desires us. He desires to be known by us and for us to know him. Just as Boaz desired Ruth, God desires you. He's not absent from your life. It's not like he gave you a down payment on his love and then just disappeared, and someday on some undisclosed time, Jesus is just going to prance back into your life and you don't even know him, and he'll be like, hey, want to get married? No. He's very active in your life. Constantly active in your life. He's not absent from your life. Not to trivialize it, because what Jesus does is much greater than the example that I'm about to give. But imagine that you got engaged, and the next day your fiancé had to go overseas for an undisclosed amount of time. But he pre-wrote you love letters, one for you to open every single day. And so each day you get to open a letter from him, where he pledges his love to you, pledges his promise to you, where he introduces his characteristics to you. Even more so than that, not simply through remembrance, but through actual, real presence, Jesus makes himself known to you on a daily basis. He shows up in your life by way of his Holy Spirit. He is in you through you, all around you. And he promises to show up in very real, tangible ways through his word, both spoken and written for you. When you engage with the Bible, that is God making his desires known to you. When you receive his sacraments for you, that is Jesus in a tangible way for you, so you can meet God and receive his pledge for you. Here in the church, amongst the body of believers, Jesus is very, very present with you always so that you can live out his love with one another. God desires you, not just through your remembrance, but in very real, tangible, mysterious ways. He desires you, desires to be with you, desires to know you, desires to be known by you. I've been having a lot of conversations recently with people who have been forced to the point of having nothing left but Jesus. Due to the brokenness of this world, things continue to be broken and stripped away in the lives of these people, and left with what feels like nothing. Like Ruth and Naomi. And we need not forget that that's who Ruth and Naomi are in this story. They are completely and wholeheartedly and utterly dependent on someone to redeem them. And in my conversations with broken people, we have to get to the place where we consider, is Jesus truly our one thing necessary? For Ruth, Boaz was the one thing necessary. She was all in. She's got nothing else. He is her only hope, her only option. Otherwise, she and Naomi are as good as dead, and their family name and property and lineage and everything. Jesus is our one thing necessary. We've got nothing else. He is our only hope, our only option. Otherwise, we are as good as dead. When Ruth lay at the feet of Boaz and uncovered his feet, she was putting it all on the line at the feet of her Redeemer. Will we put it all on the line at the feet of our Redeemer, Jesus? Completely helpless at the feet of your Redeemer? Completely in need at the feet of your Redeemer? Will you lay it all at the feet of your Redeemer to surrender yourself, make yourself vulnerable, to say to Jesus, you are my one thing necessary. Your grace is sufficient for me. I will cling to nothing else because I have nothing else. Chapter 3 ends with the promise of Boaz to Ruth. You will be redeemed. One way or another, you will be redeemed. And because the promise is certain, at this point in the story, Ruth and Naomi are as good as redeemed because the promise is certain. My friends, you are redeemed. There's no question to ask, no need to wonder if it's true, no need to wonder if Jesus truly feels the way he promises about you. He died for you, he rose for you, he's coming back for you. And until the day of that final wedding feast, I encourage you, like Ruth, to lay it all at the feet of your Redeemer, Jesus. In his name, amen.